Jambo.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious, and we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
So I said I wasn't gonna do it, but you win. Enough of y'all have told me to do it, that I'm going to go ahead and get it out of the way. So let's go ahead and get it out of the way. Before we do that, though, we got to do, you know how we start every show. Welcome to Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not something is worth your time, something that you can get through a digital medium, through a digital screen. We waste our time, energy, and brain power so that you don't have to. Lessons from the Screen is brought to you by PacSync through the Freedom Train Network. You can find us on www.freedomtrainradio.com or on iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher. Please go to all three places, rate the show, listen, come back to the website and comment. We like comments. Be sure to head to www.PacSync.org to show some love and check out what our sponsors are doing. PacSync is a black activist and advocacy organization focused on developing the black community through a shift in culture, education, and economics. As always, Lessons from the Screen has a reference point that is aligned with the black community. That means that the documents, the documentaries, the programs, and everything else that we look at will be looked at with the racial component involved. And we try to extrapolate some lessons that can be used to better the community. This week, again, I said I wasn't going to do it, but I did. Just because y'all keep pestering me and bothering me about it. This week, we'll be talking about a documentary. In March of 2017, What the Health was unleashed onto the world through Netflix, creating a massive shockwave of vegan support and food fear. We will be looking at this documentary and the impact of the movement it represents. We will also be looking at some of the claims presented in this documentary and their validity. And finally, we will be looking at what we can learn and how we can use this to create a better space for ourselves. I'm not going into all of the things that are wrong with this documentary, but I am going to talk about a few of the bigger issues, or a few of the issues that represent some of the bigger issues. So let's get into it. So What the Health is the follow-up to Cowspiracy, The Sustainable Secret. And that was a documentary that linked the methane produced from cow farts to global warming, amongst other things. The documentary itself follows the producer of the documentary, Kip Anderson, as he questions why chronic illnesses continue to grow at an alarming rate. As he goes about doing his research, he finds himself at the doorstep of various health organizations, physicians, pharmaceutical companies, and more, looking for answers as to why no one is talking about the dietary connection between these chronic illnesses and eating meat and dairy. He also makes several shocking statements, two of the more popular being that eating an egg a day is the same as smoking 5 cigarettes a day, and that processed meat is more cancerous than cigarettes. The documentary concludes with the revelation that there is a massive conspiracy between governments, the healthcare industry, the pharmaceutical industry, and health and research organizations to hide the fact that they are all in the business of making money to keep you sick through your food, and there is no one you can trust. This revelation is central to the marketing of this film as the film that the healthcare industry doesn't want you to watch. Very first thing with this documentary is it did do a wonderful job of marketing itself. It marketed itself as revealing this gigantic secret that is being kept from you. And in a world where everyone wants to claims that they want to be in the know, anything and everything that builds itself as revealing will draw immediate interest. And the bigger the secret, the bigger the interest. And the problem with this documentary is that they didn't really have any real secret to share. There was no real new information. There weren't any real new conspiracy theories. Like, there was just literally nothing new in this. It was just rehashed, repackaged statements and various other things that have already been said and already largely been disproven and discounted, even by the vegan community. So we deal with the marketing component. It did do a good job, though, of marketing itself as having this massive secret that the pharmaceutical industry, the healthcare industry, the farming industry, and you know, healthcare organizations of various other things of that nature are all in collusion to keep this one thing from you, and we have it, and we're going to tell you what it is. And it was trash. I don't know how else to say it. It was trash. I'm not going to be unbiased on this. It was just trash. The reporting style, I didn't care for that either. And this isn't specific to this documentary. I have a beef with all documentaries that use the bull rushing tactic in their interviews, and especially the open lying tactic. And this is a personal thing for me. When I see you tell someone that you're not going to turn the camera on or that they're not on the record, but then you proceed to record them or put them on the record, it bothers me, because that's a level of dishonesty that I feel like if you're willing to do something like that and then put it out for the world to see, that means that you're willing to stretch the truth, mislead people with false information, make up data, or do whatever it is that you have to do in order to convey whatever message or achieve whatever level of success that you're trying to achieve. And so that was a real big turnoff for me in this particular documentary, because he did it on a few occasions. And it's not even specific to this documentary. It's just in general that tends to bother me when I see people doing that. And in doing that, I feel like if you're trying to cast the organization in a negative light, you can do that without utilizing dishonest tactics. I mean, if they're foul, just let them prove themselves to be foul through the information they give. And when I see documentaries done like this with the bull rush tactic and the open lying and all these other things, it makes the documentarians seem just as disingenuous and just as foul as the organizations that they claim more often than not are destroying the world or destroying the nation. So it's just not a good look for me personally. I don't feel like it's a very fair and objective or balanced way to come across, and it's not even a mature way, in my opinion, to present someone as being dirty. If they're dirty, we can see that they're dirty. Allow them to present what they have to present, and then allow us to be like, oh, that didn't even make sense. But when you do this, you don't even give us an opportunity to, unless you present things in such a persuasive way that we completely ignore the fact that you're lying and you're lacking integrity and you're being disingenuous in your total approach, which is something that I've never been able to overlook. So when we get into the content of the film, now the film did have a lot of things that were presented as accurate. I would say a good chunk of the things presented were accurate. But when it came to some of the major issues, some of the major points of discussion, as well as the overall tone, it was propaganda. It was just too far out there for me to even label this a documentary. And I feel this way, not just about this documentary, but about a lot of these food type, diet type documentaries, which is why I've been so resistant to do any of them, because all of them, I feel like, are propaganda pieces more so than they are fair and balanced documentaries meant to educate their audience. So in this one of the very first things that caught me was the harping on who pays for the studies. They constantly said, well, this dairy study was paid for by the dairy industry. This meat study was paid for by the meat industry. But then when you look at who's distributing this vegan, this clearly vegan documentary, this clearly vegan documentary is being distributed by a clearly vegan corporation, a clearly vegan organization. Most of the donors for this documentary are clearly vegans. It's crowdfunded. But a lot of the places, from what I could see, where people had donated to this crowdfund, these were clearly vegan places. It was largely promoted by a vegan audience. So it seems, again, disingenuous to me for you to say the meat industry pays for the studies on meat products and then have the vegan industry paying for distributing and supporting a documentary that's supportive of the vegan lifestyle. It seems disingenuous. It seems misleading. So I just couldn't get around that. Then we get into the actual meat of some of the points they were trying to make. And again, I'm not going to cover all the points, but I'm going to cover what I feel were some of the key points in addressing the overall tone of this fearumentary. The first of which is when they presented the idea that processed meat is more harmful than smoking and just as cancer-causing as smoking, which is completely ludicrous. That is like a grossly irresponsible statement to make underneath the banner of a documentary, which is going to cause a lot of people to put some substance, some credibility behind your words. That is just grossly irresponsible. So before we dig into this, first we have to dig into what processed meat is, because they never actually told us, and I find this to be the problem with a lot of dietary documentaries. They never actually tell you what processed meat is, what constitutes a processed meat versus a non-processed meat. And so we have to say a processed meat is something that has been transformed or processed or had something done to it in order to enhance the flavor or improve the preservation of the meat. So things like salting, curing, fermentations, smoking, grilling, cooking in some senses, all of these are forms of processing meat. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about processed meat. We're talking about the vast majority of the meat that you consume. And then we dig into the report that they cited when they said this. And while the report does classify processed meat as a group 1 carcinogen, what that means is that it is known that processed meat does in fact cause cancer. It is a cancer-causing substance. But it does not mean that it is that all of the items in that list are on equal footing. That is not what that means whatsoever. There are about 34,000 cancer deaths worldwide attributed to diets that are high in processed meat. That's 34,000 deaths worldwide. Diets high in red meat are believed to be responsible for 50,000 cancer-causing deaths worldwide. Now, here's where it gets interesting. 200,000 global deaths are attributed to air pollution. This is people breathing dirty air. 200,000 cancer-causing deaths are attributed to air pollution. 600,000 cancer-causing deaths worldwide are attributed to drinking alcohol. And 1 million cancer-causing deaths worldwide are attributed to smoking cigarettes. So to compare 34,000 worldwide to 1 million worldwide, when far more people at that eat red meat, processed meat, than smoke cigarettes, becomes a ludicrous statement. It is a bad statistic to report. It's air pollution causes nearly 6 times more cancer causing deaths, and drinking alcohol causes 18 times more cancer causing deaths than eating processed meat. We also get into, we could go as deep as we wanted to with this. I mean, what does it mean to be cancer causing. Well, that means that you create mutations in cells that get in the way of their cell division and their life cycle, period. And there are a bunch of different things that cause that. There are over 1,000 different things on that list that are in group one. Formaldehyde is also under that label, and it is considered extremely toxic, but it is also naturally found in low doses all over the human body. It is naturally found in low doses inside of human blood, which brings up another point. A large portion of whether or not something causes you cancer is the amount of it you intake, which has a lot to do with its efficacy and its potency. Red meat may be a cancer-causing substance, but you would have to eat an extremely large amount of processed meat and red meat in order for it to be of the same level of danger as smoking a cigarette. You would have to eat almost nothing but processed meat. That's almost nothing, but you have to live off an awful lot of bacon, hot dogs, and various other things in order for it to be at the same level as smoking cigarette. And every health organization and government body advocates for a diet with low to no processed meat and low in meats in general. So what is the secret here? This is something that is naturally advocated for across the board, across the spectrum. Nobody is telling people, hey, you need to eat as much red meat as possible. You need to eat all the processed meat you can get your hands on. I mean, the food pyramid, for all of our criticisms of the food pyramid, meat is not at the bottom of the food pyramid. So let's just stop right there. And then it goes on to say sugar is not a major issue and is not related to diabetes and other issues. And it goes on to say most of the blame is caused by animal carbohydrates, animal proteins, animal fats, basically the consumption of animals. And this flies directly in the face of what has been established by both common sense and science. To suggest that sugar is not a problem is, in my opinion, criminally irresponsible. That should be a crime at this point to suggest, with no major evidence to back you up, that sugar is not a health-related problem, the large consumption of sugar. And the interesting here is I went to the film's website, where they have all of their claims listed out, and I will give them credit for that. It is very nicely done, along with links to everything that they point out that backs up their claim. Well, when you go to the area that says sugar is not a cause of diabetes, and you click on the first link, that very first link does not agree with their statement that sugar has nothing to do with diabetes. What that link does is it illustrates the causes of type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes, which is something that the film, again, never really differentiates between. Type 1 and type 2 diabetes, although they have the same name and they are essentially the same problem, they have two completely different causes. And this link, it illustrates the causes on a mechanical level. It does not illustrate the different things that could cause the mechanics that caused the problem to arrive in the first place. But what this link does is it shows that fat can cause a disruption in the mechanics of the system that can cause type 2 diabetes. Now, if you have a lot of fat in your system, which can be caused by the consumption of large amounts of sugars, which your body either transforms into energy or fat, you could run into the same type 2 problem that is mentioned in that report. So it is interesting that even their own sources don't necessarily agree with them. But beyond that, it grossly simplifies the process of diabetes. Having too much sugar in your diet can cause your liver to become insulin resistant, which can cause type 2 diabetes. Having too much sugar in your body, as I mentioned earlier, can cause the excess of it to be converted into fat, which can cause type 2 diabetes. And this same pattern of ignoring information, using outdated information, cherry-picking information is present and repeated over and over in most of the major claims presented by this film. The one egg a day being as bad as 5 cigarettes per day is just horribly misleading. And the statement is fueled by research that was presented before we understood that there was more than one type of fat, saturated and unsaturated fat, and their effects on cholesterol in the body. And then it goes on to even make the point of saying that animals are unhealthy for consumption because they eat crops poison. They eat crops that are grown through poisoned land that have been chemically treated. But then they ignore the fact that the plants that we eat are from the same land and are largely treated with the same chemicals. And then they present this weak angle on racism, which is meant to garner some support from the black community and show that they're socially aware and conscious. But there is no separate recommendation for food for black people from white people. It's not like you can go to the government's food chart and say, hey, here's the dietary recommendations for white people. Here's the dietary recommendations for black people. And look, usually I'm not for when people try to say something is not race related. I do think there is a race component involved in our dietary habits and in the way foods are recommended and marketed. But this documentary, what they presented under the guise of being racially aware was ass and insulting, in my opinion, to black people. And then let us not forget the expert that said that meats rot in your stomach, which is just, I can't even get into how foolish and ignorant and incorrect that is. If anything is rotting in your digestive system, it would be the plant matter, as the human digestive system cannot digest plant matter by itself, which is why your digestive system, your intestines particularly, are lined and loaded with bacteria. These bacteria process and digest the plant matter, and we process and digest the waste products of those bacteria. Now, if you want to talk about rotting, that is the exact definition of what rotting is. So while the film was very persuasive, and it presented huge stories, it presented them with shady lights and through incomplete information that's meant to shock you into believing what they have to say. And the information was presented so rapidly that there wasn't very much time for you to stop and think about all of the different types of trash that they're throwing at you. The documentary was just ass trash in terms of content, but it was very, very entertaining. I will give it that. It was entertaining. It made me laugh quite a few times. There are a few lessons for us here, though. There are. And they're largely the same lesson over and over. Stop believing everything you see and getting excited just because someone pretends to give a damn. In this documentary that was well over an hour, only 5 minutes was devoted to black people and racism, and that 5 minutes presented very little factual information. And the only reason I bring this up is because now, months after this documentary was released, there are huge numbers of black people still singing praises for this documentary as if it's revolutionary, as if it's shedding some new light, as if it's going to change the world and make black people healthy. Stop it. The second point, stop believing stuff just because it's presented in a factual manner. In our current situation, being gullible is a trait that we cannot afford to continue to have. We've got to stop smell testing stuff. Just because something feels good or feels right doesn't mean that it is. God gave us a brain for a reason. We should use it. I'm sick and tired of people saying we're the most intelligent, we have the biggest brains, we have the highest capacity, but then when they're presented with something that they should use that intelligence on, they completely shut down their executive faculties. I am completely tired of it. God gave you a brain. Use it. That's all I'm saying. Turn off your heart for a moment and use your head, because your heart will mislead you, especially in a world where everyone is trying to pull at your heart. It is very easy to be misled by your emotions. So we got to stop with this narrative that our hearts will always steer us to the right direction. Our hearts have not steered us in the right direction for a long time. That's why we find ourselves still in the situation that we're in, because we're refusing to listen to our heads and continuing to be blindly obedient to our hearts. And stop letting people that haven't done research on us dictate us in our activities. Right now, we're getting most of our health and dietary advice from white people, and these people don't have any research based on us to back up their claims. This research is based on studies done on large groups of white people, and now we're finding out that the differences between black people and white people are not simply skin deep. It's deeper than that. There's research coming out now that suggests that black people operate with lower levels of vitamin D than white people, which is why black people are almost always told that we're vitamin D deficient when we go and speak to our healthcare advisors and physicians after a physical. It's been determined, there are studies out there that suggest that black women's breasts have a larger mass and might be heavier than white women's, which might have something to do with the increased rates of breast cancer in black women. There's evidence and studies out there that suggest that black people respond differently to various stimulus than white people do. This is genetics at work, and our genetics are different. Stop thinking that just because something is some way, one way for white people, that means that it's the same way for black people. It's not even the same for all white people. So we have got to, and this is a plea, a call for us to begin to be serious about scientific endeavors, and for us to begin to truly and seriously look for ways to do our own research and look into our own causes, our own symptoms, and begin to just formulate our own research initiatives. Now, this fearumentary, I give it 1 star. Just 1. And it only gets that 1 for being persuasive and mildly entertaining. And while it did have some accurate information, this is propaganda, pure and simple. This is vegan propaganda. It is so much propaganda that even the vegans are now starting to come out and say that they don't want to be connected to this documentary. It's documentaries like this that have people believing that vegans and vegetarians don't like science, don't follow science, don't have any other tool at their disposal other than throwing out these incredible, disproven, but passionate statements about nothing. Like, I can't even illustrate how bad this was on a contextual level. When it comes to context. Like, we've got to just sit back and look at this. It would have been better if it was more neutral. It would have been better if there were more facts presented. It would have been better if they just would not have put it out altogether and just decided to do something else with their time and the $250,000 that they raised to do this. It was just not worth your time. And as this is a 1-star documentary, I will not be providing a link to the documentary, because I don't believe that you should waste your time watching it. Unless you want to use it for research or for something else, in which case your very first piece of research should be trying to find out where the documentary is so that you can watch it yourself. And so with that, it's finally over. We're finally done with this piece of trash. And we will see you next week for another episode of Lessons from the Screen.
Lessons from the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.